Well, we are in a new series, or not a new series. We've been in here for a while, and we've been walking through this idea of God help and walking through the Proverbs together and looking at different scenarios and different practical ways how to actually live in this world. So today, we're going to be walking through another one of those. Before we do that, let's just pray. Father, we come and we just humbly ask that you would just meet us and continue to meet with us, that we would hear your word, respond to your word, wherever we're at in the spectrum of the topic of today, that we could just gain something for us to say yes to you today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been enjoying the sunny days. How many of you guys have enjoyed the sunny days? Yes. It's been awesome, right? I know some of you, like, you kind of have that model of living, like, sun's out, guns out. You want to go out and play and be in the, running around doing yard work or whatever and not going to work. And I was struggling with that idea myself. It was a sunny morning. It was warm already in the morning, which is unusual, right? And I was thinking, man, I really don't want to go to work today. I was just enjoying the morning. And my mind began to wander, what if I was independently wealthy and I didn't have to go to work? And then I started to think about people who win the lottery. And then I got to work and I said, I got to look this up. How many people actually go back to their jobs or would say they would go back to their jobs if they won a seven-figure payout? How many of you guys, if you won a seven-figure payout, would go back to work? Yeah. Well, it's about 80% say they would go back to work. Isn't that crazy? So you'd probably take a few weeks off, get your finances, and maybe plan a couple trips and things like that. But there's something about work that is deep-seated in our hearts. There's something about it, how God has knit us together, that work is actually something that we want to do, that we have a need almost to do. And so today, what we want to be looking at through the Proverbs is how do we connect faith to work. We often view faith like things like going to church or the prayers we have before meals or with our kids or in our evening prayers or when you wake up, maybe you spend some time. But how does that look when it becomes a major portion of your day of working? How does that connect to faith? And so that's what we would like to look at today. Work is something that's deep-seated in our culture. We have proverbs that are not scriptural proverbs, but they're proverbs that we will say. Things like a penny saved is a rolling stone gathers the early bird. Don't count your chickens. You know, a lot of those are very similar to some of the proverbs that we're going to be looking at today. Remember, work is not a product of the fall. It was there before sin entered into the world. There was a fulfillment that was given. There was this ability granted as image bearers of God. And there was something about it that God said, you need this. This is good for you. There's going to be a sense of accomplishment in our days. There was something that was healthy for us. It was something that was both spiritual and mentally good for us. Now sin entered the world, and we do know that work got harder. The Bible tells us that we're going to have to make our living by the sweat of our brow. And yet we go back and we recognize that work was there before the fall. We need to remember that work is something that is good for us, but it's also something that we struggle with at times. That's why the Bible talks about this idea that we work for 6 days and we take a rest. And part of that's a faith issue. God, I have enough. I believe you'll provide. God, you're the one who is producing, and I'm a part of that, but it's really you I'm trusting. I have to admit that sometimes it's hard for me to connect work and faith. And I work at a church, and it's hard for me sometimes. But there's some really simple proverbs that I think will help us all to really see this picture of it's more than just a paycheck. It's more than your identity. It's more than all of those things when we start to look at it how God looks at it. We can hopefully, as we understand these things, in maybe some small way, circle back to those moments in the garden where Adam and Eve saw the beauty of work, the connection to work, and maybe for us, just for a small moment, small glimpse, that we can do that also. Remember, the Proverbs state the normal results of correct behavior. These are not absolutes. They're not guarantees. We live in a sinful world that is filled with inconsistencies and problems. Proverbs 10:3 says, "The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry." But we all know that there are Christians who have starved. Righteous people who have starved. Is God a liar? Well, no, he's not a liar. We live in a fallen world. There's many explanations, and we could have a long philosophical talk about why these things happen. It could be that somebody stole the resources. There was somebody over here that was greedy and took it all. There could be there's not gainful employment because of the society's how it's working and how it's operating. But the normal practice or the normal idea is that we don't go hungry if we work. The Bible says if someone doesn't work, he doesn't eat. The reason that there isn't employment sometimes for people is the world is broken and fallen. And we're caught in that vortex. Those proverbs that talk about work really are connected in some fashion to this idea that God has designed work. And so accepting that, that's the first thing that we must accept, is that God has designed work for us. Right from the beginning, there was work, as I had mentioned. What's really cool about work is that God is creative, and we're image bearers of God. And I think God had joy in his work. If you look at the creation series, he's like, hey, I created this, and it was good, it is good, it is good, it is good, it is very good. And so there's some amount of joy that's connected to this. There's some amount of accomplishment that he had, and he gave that to us to enjoy. Tomorrow morning, when many of you get up to go to work, God has ordained that work for you. You start looking at it like this, that God has given that task. That's your adventure today. That's the way you're going to serve God. And I think it changes some things in our minds. We get to be creative. We get to produce something. We get to live out that image bearing that God has created for us. This is what's pleasing to him. To understand that, I think it changes some things, and it connects our faith to our work. Colossians 3 in verse 23 says this: "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." The work you will do tomorrow was given to you by Jesus. The work you will do tomorrow is given to you by Jesus, and we should understand it in that way. So if you go and Jesus said, if Jesus was standing right here and he said, hey, you're going to go make a widget for 8 hours, and you know, you wake up tomorrow and you're like, oh man, I don't want to do that. I just don't really want to do that. Or maybe you're going to have this really difficult conversation with these people over here. I don't really want to do that. Yeah. But you're doing it because Jesus told you to do it. And I think it changes something. It changes something for me when we start to think of it in that way. That this is our assignment, this is our adventure, and Jesus is there with us. Work for all of us is designed by God, and to not work is a lack of common sense, according to the Proverbs. Lacking common sense in this area can be very dangerous. Proverbs 21:25 says this: "The craving of a sluggard will be the death of him, because his hands refuse to work." One of the reasons that I think we get tripped up at work is we start thinking about other things. In Proverbs 12, on verse 11, it says, "Those who work their lands will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense. We start thinking about tomorrow. We start thinking about, you know, Friday. We start thinking about our dream job. We start thinking about, oh, I really deserve maybe something more than this. The reality is that the job that you've given, that God has given you for today, is the job that He wants you to do for today. And so it's not wrong to want to accomplish, it's not wrong to want to climb the corporate ladder, but it's wrong to fantasize about those things and not actually get the things done that God has called you to do with excellence today. Another thing that I think trips us up at times is Proverbs 27:1. And it says this: do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. We have no idea what tomorrow will bring, or even if there will be a tomorrow. Overconfidence does not bring God's blessing on our plans. Well, tomorrow I'll do it. Is anybody a little bit of a procrastinator? Maybe just a little bit? Like, well, that'll be tomorrow's job when you can do it today. I think some of this, I have time tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do this tomorrow. Well, you don't know what tomorrow brings. It could be something that you're not going to be able to accomplish that thing. And so it doesn't have to be a boast or an overconfidence in a way that is like, well, when I get this job or that. It can be just simply a procrastination in this and boasting about what you can get done tomorrow instead of doing it today. In the great Christmas classic, A Christmas Vacation, Chevy Chase character Clark Griswold, if you saw that movie, there is a moment he's expecting the company to give him a Christmas bonus. And so he goes out and he's like, I'm going to get a Christmas bonus. I want to bless my family. This is going to be awesome. And so what he does is he puts a down payment on a swimming pool. And for his family, and because he expected this holiday bonus. But instead of getting a bonus of cash, he did get a bonus. Does anybody remember what he got? He got a certificate for the jelly of the month, the gift that keeps on giving, right? I think this is what the proverb is telling us. We're to work diligently no matter what day it is. Sometimes we're going to be overlooked for a promotion or a bonus that we think we deserve. Sometimes we're going to be overlooked and it's going to be unjust. But how we react, he reacts actually very poorly in that movie, but how you react will set up your future. We should be humble and realize the events of each day are in the hands of the Lord. The assignment He gave you for tomorrow is the assignment He gave you for tomorrow. And we trust the outcomes to Him. In 1 Kings chapter 20 and verse 11 says this: one who puts on his armor should not boast like one who takes it off. That's a great saying, isn't it? Everyone can talk a big game before the game, but when the game is over and the jersey comes off, everyone knows the score, and everyone will know the score tomorrow when you're done, is what this is saying. When the job is done, every day we work, we're serving Jesus. This should be, it should propel us. It should compel us to do a great job, whether we're a ditch digger, a postman, a stay-at-home mom, a sales rep, a CEO, it doesn't really matter. Every job has value because it's done in the honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. We get to serve Jesus through our job, through our work. Even if you're retired, you're serving Jesus. How are you counting for your time? I love this yesterday, and it was brought up about Bob Patterson. Bob had 95 years on this earth. But he recognized and used that time all the way to the end. Many of you know Bob, many of you experienced, and it didn't matter if you were young or you're old. If you experienced Bob, you experienced joy in his life. And he worked diligently on things for the church. The library that we have is really there was a team, but really because of Bob, right? He did these things, even in retirement. He got up, there was an assignment, and he did it to the glory of his Savior. The Bible never speaks about retirement. Retirement is a modern construct. You may no longer need money for a paycheck, but there is something about work that is good for our mental health. There's something about that. The Bible says whatever we do, we work heartily at unto the Lord. And I think it's not only just to the Lord, but it's also to our benefit that we do this. This is kind of a 30,000-foot view of work, and it should shape how we think about our 9-to-5 grind. It should shape every minute, every hour, every day of your life. I think about Jesus' work, and we talked about this on our podcast. He only worked for like 3.5 years in his formal ministry, but he counted those times, and he used those times in a very valuable way. And he had more influence over the world than any philosopher that was ever there. You know, some of the philosophers wrote for 40 years. Jesus never wrote anything, and yet had a bigger influence on the world. But I think he was connected and focused on his work, and his greatest work was that he purchased us with the price of his own life. He went to the cross as a willing participant for you and I, and that was part of the work that he was to do. Remember in the garden, and we know this well, he says, Father, if there's another way, but not my will, but your will, this is my work, this is my service, this is what I'm going to do. And he does it. And so we work not as our own, but as somebody who's been purchased by Christ. We work wisely. And there are practical benefits to that. One of the things that it said in that earlier passage is there's an eternal benefit to it, right? As we work unto the Lord. There's an inheritance. There's a reward that will be forever. If we get up in the morning and we say, God, I'm working unto you, there's a reward in heaven for that. That's pretty awesome. But there's also rewards here. And there's practical rewards here. There's rewards of the grind of work. How many of you love your job? All the time. Yeah, that's right. Nobody loves their job all the time, right? Sometimes it's a grind. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we don't want to get up in the morning. Sometimes it just is. But in that diligence of the grind, there are rewards. I'm just going to say this, and this isn't against young people. This is a societal issue. There is something, that idea of grinding it out in work, it is becoming less and less a part of our society. That's scary, I think, or should be scary to all of us. Because when the going gets tough, we're not able to just kind of grind it out. When it's not fun anymore, what happens is we start looking for pastures that are greener. The goal is not to get the work done. The goal is to figure out how to get it back to being fun. The reality is that every job has seasons where it's just not fun. It's a grind. When I first came into ministry, I thought it was going to be like camp. Remember going to summer camp as a kid? So fun, right? Fun all the time. And everyone's like praising Jesus. And we're all like one big family for a week. And it was awesome. That's how I thought ministry was going to be. Guess what? It's not. It's not exactly like that. And some days are hard. Some days are painful. Some days it's the struggle to write something going, God, I don't got anything. You got anything up there for me to say? I don't know what to say. I don't have anything. And I'm supposed to produce something because Sunday comes every week and it's hard. I don't like it sometimes. Sometimes there's meetings, and I'll tell you this, most of you don't have to tell someone, hey, you're being sinful. You know, you ever do that to somebody? They don't like it. Sometimes it's hard and it's a grind. I have a pastor buddy I was talking to. He was going through one of those seasons where it was hard. It was a grind. This is a few months ago. He's a really good guy. Loves the Lord. Good pastor. But it was one of those seasons. And so I was talking to him on the phone, and we began to he just began to share kind of what was going on. He's also a very talented builder. And he said this to me. He said, "You know, in the midst of this grind, I just want to go back to the trades. I began to pray that God would take me out of this. I don't want to do this anymore." And I tried to encourage him and tried to listen to him. This past week, I called him again. We began to talk. And I said, "Hey, how are you doing, man? What's going on?" And he said this, "I am doing so great. It feels like I don't deserve this. How good it is right now. I'm so glad I just ground this thing out. I just went through this. Man, I just learning to trust God more in some of these seasons." He goes, "But I realize that on the horizon, there's probably another season of grinding it out. Since my kids were little, tried to teach them to grind it out. Maybe too hard at times, my wife tells me. One of the days we were in the summer, we were picking up apples, and Finley was about 3 years old. You know, his brothers are a little older, and they're working much faster than him. And he likes to talk. He's a talker. So we're there, and I'm like, "Finley, you gotta pick the apples," because we had to mow the lawn. And if you mow the lawn and there's apples, there's bees everywhere. And so nobody likes that. And so I said, "Hey, you gotta pick the apples." And he looks up at me and he goes, "All right, Dad, because I know if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat." He got that from his mom, I think. Parents, your kids can do more than you think they can. And if you're not teaching them to grind at home, it is, I think, not a... It's something that they can do. It's going to probably take longer when they're young to do the tasks that you want them to do, but it's helpful for them as they develop as people. It's good for them to have jobs and to work with them. Here's why the grind principle is so important according to God's word. The wise will work hard. Besides honoring God, and there's practical benefits to working diligently, those who grind it out, they have resources. It says in Proverbs 10:4, "A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." The diligent hand is careful and persistent. Wealth does not come overnight, but it's this working rich kind of principle. You know, each one of us who live in this culture, and maybe this time in this culture, we really hit the lottery, because there's really three simple rules to being at least middle class in the United States. The Brookings Institute spent some time looking at this and taking a great deal of effort to study it. And you can avoid poverty by doing three things. One is graduating from high school, waiting to get married until you're after 21, and do not have children until after being married. The third one is having a full-time job and showing up for work. The chances of you falling into poverty in that is about 2% if you do those three things. Meanwhile, you have a 74% chance of being in the middle class if you do those things. And it applies to everyone. These rules apply to all races, all ethnic groups, doesn't matter, it applies. Proverbs 21:5 says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty." Finish high school. Wait till you're married to have kids. Really, all these things are saying is live in your lane, be diligent in your lane. Where are you at? Maybe you're in college right now. Man, you're probably going to be poor right now. It's okay. It's okay. Like, it, be diligent, prepare, finish, get it done. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to get a job. And then you're going to go to work and be diligent there. And guess what? You will come out of that. It's a time of preparation. Proverbs 13:4 says, the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. It's a general rule. Is those who work hard, they work diligently, they have more in the end. And there's something about our soul in there. When we work hard, we work slow, steady, and we see the work of our hands, there's something satisfying to our soul. How many of you have ever cut wood? Chopped wood, put it in a pile. It's not fun when you're doing it. Bugs flying, sweat coming down. It's not fun. The chainsaw thing is kind of fun, right? But then you, at the end of it, you see all these little widgets of wood. It's a beautiful thing, right? It's a beautiful pile of wood that you can celebrate because there's something right there that you produced. But it takes time to do that. It takes diligence to do that. You know, you drive around, or I drive around, and I admire some of these guys' wood piles. They're amazing, aren't they? It's amazing how much wood that they have cut, and they diligently did this. And you don't do that without diligence. And I'm sure they have a sense of accomplishment. One guy actually built like a little bridge, and you could walk underneath the thing. It was pretty cool. Work hard, work steady, and you will have resources. Let's consider the ant. Let us learn from her ways and be wise. Without having any chief officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. We work diligently, have a work ethic. And if you do, and you work diligently and grind it out in those hard times, the scriptures say what usually that leads to is not only resources, but it also leads you to rule over people. Proverbs 12:24, the hand of the diligent will rule, while the slothful will be put to forced labor. Those who work hard are often ones promoted and trusted with responsibility to lead. It is always a poor move to promote someone who's lazy, right? But diligent workers will eventually rule over those with little effort. 1 Timothy 5:25 says, so also good works are conspicuous, I can't say that word, and even those that are not cannot remain hidden. Our good works will not remain hidden. We will be rewarded for those, is what he's saying. The other thing, this is real practical. They have reputation. Proverbs 22:29. Do you see someone skilled in their work? They will serve before kings. They will not serve before officials of low rank. As you develop in your skills, what happens? You get promoted and you get to go in front of people. You get to be a person of influence in your skill set. There was a time in the United States when a candidate who was running for a public office could qualify with the electorate only by fixing his birthplace in or near the log cabin. In short, he had to be self-made. He had to show that he had come from somewhere and had walked through this. The so-called Protestant ethic then prevalent had that man was, he was sturdy, he was responsible individual, responsible to himself, his society, and his God. Anyone could not measure up to the standard, could not qualify for public office. There had to be this guiding principle of this log cabin idea. And there had to be a reputation for that. The people around, there had to be respect. You will get a reputation. The diligent will receive a reputation that is fitting for the God they serve. The other thing is I think we should enjoy work at some level. Yeah, it became harder after the curse, but it was also there before the curse. And there's lots of things I enjoy that were pre-curse. Food, I like food. I like good fruit and good things like that. We like those things. Those are all pre-fall that God has provided for us. And I think work is that way also. It's part of God's plan. As time passes, the person who has worked wisely, diligently, will find themselves rewarded by their labors. If you're going to grind, one of the things that I think is really important is you grind with a plan. Those who grind well have a plan and they execute it. The Proverbs say this, "The plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty." Proverbs 21:5, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only into poverty." At the end of the day, plans alone don't lead toward success in your work, even as the Lord can shine on us and provide the best opportunities for success. It'll still be hard work. Diligence is in persistence in this. These proverbs speak to this question: what's your plan? What's your plan for the next 5 years? Some of you will retire. Some of you are already retired. What are you going to do in the next 5 years? What are you going to do in the next 10 years? What job do you want or need? What's the income level? It's not wrong to ask those questions. But we make a plan. We submit those plans to the Lord, to wise counsel. We filter them through. And we go, "God, whatever you want, I want to do that." I've met people who talk about their work, but they have no plan to execute their work. People will often say, "Well, here's an idea." Well, an idea isn't a plan, it's an idea. How are you going to execute it? What is it going to look like? Even the sluggards have plans. And often they have great plans to do work tomorrow, right? Proverbs 26:13-14. It says this, a slugger says, "There's a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so the slugger turns in his bed." I like that one. And it's really just all about excuses. There's a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets. Tomorrow I'll do it. You can always find a reason not to complete the task or not to execute the plan. I think we all have a tendency to do poor work when we think nobody's watching. I remember back in college, I had this horrible job. Oh, it was horrible. I took paper from this box and a piece of metal, and I separated it into these two boxes. Try doing that for 8 hours a day. It was horrible. It wasn't hard. I wasn't like... You're bored already of me doing that, aren't you? Yeah. I'll be honest, I had a partner that he was doing it on the other side of me, and we were doing this thing together. And we got done with the summer. It was a summer job. And I left, went off to college, got a job somewhere else that next summer. And he went back to that place. And him and I mean, we did not work very well, very hard, and I admit that. And when he returned, they said, "No. No, you can't come back." If I would return, they would have said no too. And I remember that when he told me, like, "Man, I got a job here because they said no to me there." I went, "Ooh, we were that bad. We didn't think anybody cared. We didn't think it mattered, really, that we were doing this. It was so boring. It was horrible." And yet I think we all have a tendency when we don't think it matters or we don't think people are watching to not do our best. And I can tell you, I did not do my best. And we have to be on guard against excuses for not doing our best. Because the reality is, whatever tomorrow brings, whatever task God has for you, whether it's a stay-at-home mom, whether it's making widgets or creating the next whatever you're going to create, that's your job that God has given you. And you should go, "Man, that I'm going to serve you, God, in whatever that is." In Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 3:10, there are some people that were not doing their job. It says, take special note of anyone who does not obey our instructions in this letter. Do not associate with them in order that they may feel ashamed. Yet do not regard them as an enemy, but warn them as you would a fellow believer. These people were not doing work. They had idle hands. And he says, hey, you need to warn them of this idleness. Don't let them be idle because it's causing issues. They're not doing what they're supposed to be. Don't regard them as an enemy, but warn them as a brother or sister. We're obligated to warn each other of the dangers of idleness. Sometimes we have to allow people to experience the consequences of idleness or laziness. Sluggards, in the Proverbs, it appears that they don't care about the community. They don't care about others. They really care about themselves. They flip in their beds, it says, like a door on hinges. In conclusion, the scripture indicates that work is ordained by God. There's no retirement. We get to embrace the work that God has given us. And if we start to believe that this is God ordained, Lord Jesus gave it to us to do, to accomplish, I think it changes everything. The promise of grinding it out is that you'll start to make headway. You'll find yourself with a good reputation. You'll find yourself with possibly some wealth in your pocket. Parents, teach your kids this. Church, help each other with this. In those times where man, you see somebody who just needs encouragement to grind it out, just come beside them. Just encourage them to do what God has called them to do for that day, one day at a time. And I think we'll be honoring to our Lord if we do that together. Let's pray. Father, we come. We're thankful for work. We're thankful for the gift of it. And yet we recognize that sometimes it's hard. God, I pray for all of our Monday mornings that you would just be the Lord of those things, that you would encourage us with your spirit, that we would go there with just kind of joy in our hearts, knowing that we're serving you. Thanks for loving us, and thanks for sending Jesus to do the job that he did. It's amazing to us that you showed us grace in that way. Thanks for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.